by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Goes to the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. And while you're finding it, if you can multitask and repeat our church motto after me, we are real people,
we are real people.
Striving to serve a real God. By ministering to the needs of a real world. Amen. Now nudge that neighbor and say, God wants you to be real. He wants you to be real. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. There you will find these words. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. For just a few moments this morning, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject: endless love. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Endless love. Diana Ross and Lionel Richie had a song in the early 80s called Endless Love. Most of you are too young to remember the original version. I know that Luther Vandross and Mariah Carey came along some years later and re-recorded it. But the words went something like this: my love, there's only you in my life, the only thing that's right. My first love, you're every breath that I take, you're every step I make, and I want to share all my love with you. No one else will do. And your eyes, memories are coming back. Your eyes, they tell me how much you care. Oh, yes, you'll always be my endless love. It almost sounds like the kind of love that you read about in a fairy tale. And that's just about what this world thinks of any idea of a real love affair. They think it's fictional. It doesn't exist. It's just a pipe dream concocted by naive folks, committed unrealistically to an irrational notion of love realities. But I'm here to tell you this morning that real love does indeed exist. Real love not only exists, but it's necessary for the human soul. Real love can change your outlook. If you're not careful, real love can change your inlook and motivate you to do better for you and everybody around you. Real love makes the difference between living in vain and living a more abundant life. I want to talk to you today about what God says about this whole love thing. I believe we can look at this text and see a powerful picture of God's emphasis on love between his people. We can see God's power through love that he showers on his people, and the strong, unbreakable, undeniable, and incorruptible love that he has for his people. I believe that we will be able to see God's endless love for his people. You see, there's a fact that can never be disputed in this world, and it is this: God loves us. And we, the redeemed, ought to love him because he first loved us. He's the apple of my eye. He's my light in a world of darkness. He's the calm in the midst of a storm. He's the reason in a world of chaos. He's the comfort in a time of sorrow. I love him because he first loved me. Is there anybody else in the house this morning who can testify that, amen, it's not that you found him first. It's not that you were seeking after him. It's not that you loved him first, but you're here this Sunday morning because somebody told you that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love God because he first loved me. And I believe that when we talk about God's love, it really is a picture-perfect definition of what endless love is all about. This book of Solomon is a piece of Hebrew poetry. And while it does allude to the point to God's relationship with his people Israel and his church, its main theme is describing this love affair that existed between a young Shulamite woman and her lover Solomon, who was the king. Some scholars have said that this is the same young woman who was brought to minister to King David in his old age, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 and verse 15. Others say that it was a lady that was a part of Solomon's harem, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 17 through 22. But regardless of who she was in name, we do know one thing, that she was definitively, unequivocally, and unashamedly head over heels in love. Anybody up in here ever been in love like that where couldn't nobody tell you nothing? Amen. You didn't care what nobody thought about it. And some of you would have to say, looking back on that thing, you wish you had listened to somebody. You, what, come on, where am I with? I wish I had listened to God. And our God, by definition, is love. I said God is love. Amen, amen. And one thing you know about when you're in love with somebody, if you hang around them enough, if y'all have seen folk that have been married for 30 and 40 and 50 years, they start looking alike. Amen. The conversation gets real small because they've talked about everything and they know each other so well that some stuff they don't even have to communicate. She knows and he knows. Do I have any witnesses here today? That's one of the characteristics of love. Amen. And so if God is by definition love, then we ought to have love in our hearts for our neighbor. I said, if God is love, then we ought to have love in our heart for our neighbor. If we love him like we say we do, if we're around him as much as we act like we're around him, I just believe that some of his characteristics ought to rub off on us. Can I remind you that God loved you when you were unlovable? Can I remind you that God loved you when you were doing the wrong thing, going to the wrong places? But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, and yet we want to put conditions on who we love. They got to treat us a certain way. They got to show us a certain amount of respect. They got to do this for us and do that for us. And if God loved us with that kind of love, we would all be on our way to a devil's hell. Is there anybody that's glad that he looked beyond your faults and saw your needs and loved you in spite of you? So how can you say that you know him and have not love in your heart for others? How can you who say that you pray and praise the one in whom all true love dwells have your heart remain as cold as ice? How can you whose love was gifted demand that everyone else earn and pay homage and slave for your old worthless love? How can we, the recipients of his abundant grace and overwhelming mercy, not shower the love of God on everyone we meet, whether we like them or not? Somebody ought to say amen. Look at your neighbor and ask them, are you really in love? In chapter 2 of this book, they start describing the one in whom their soul loves. This Shulamite says, I am a rose of Sharon and a lily of the valley. Sounds like she was bragging. But when you study it out, you understand that she was not bragging. She wasn't boasting. She was really showing humility. Amen. Because you would discover that at that time and in that place, roses and lilies were everywhere. So in essence, when she said that she was a rose of Sharon and a lily of the valley, all she was saying is that I'm looking like everybody else, I'm smelling like everybody else, but in spite of all of that, he saw something in me that made him want to be with me. And I don't know about you, but I think back on King David when he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I think about when he said, I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I don't know why he loved me. I don't know why he chose me, but I'm glad he did. Is there anybody glad that he loved you? Amen. Come on, where are my folk who don't mind admitting I wasn't all of that? I didn't have the best degrees. I didn't have the best clothes. I didn't have the best job. I didn't have a royal family name. But in spite of all of my hang-ups and my mix-ups, he saw something in me that made him go to a cross and die when I should have been there. I'm glad he loved me. But her beloved replies, sweet as an early autumn breeze. In that second verse of chapter 2, he said, you might have been a lily, but to me, like a lily among thorns, is my darling among the maidens. You see, in a real love affair, there is an appreciation for one another. I love you, and you love me. I appreciate you for you, and you accept me for me. No one has to put on fronts, but they can relax and know that the love that's shared is a love that goes beyond superficialities and is based on what's going on down on the inside. I thank God that I don't have to put on any airs with him. Do I have a witness today? I can go to him in prayer, tell him all about my troubles, my problems, my hang-ups, my weaknesses, my secret thoughts, my fears, my disappointments, my hopes, and my dreams, and I don't have to worry about him frowning on me or taking his love away. He knows everything there is to know about me, and yet he loves me. And guess what? It's the same for you. He knows your secrets. He knows where you're weak. He knows, amen, that ought that you have in your heart against somebody. And yet, in spite of all of that, he loves you. And guess what? It's an endless love. I said it's an endless love. The Shulamite goes on to refer to her beloved as an apple tree in the midst of a forest. In other words, he is somebody that can refresh her hungering spirit. He is somebody who can provide nourishment in the time of need. He is somebody who refreshes with the sweet fragrance of fruit, with promises of a delightful savor made just to her liking. She said, his left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. She remembered everything about him and their moments together, and she had nothing but good stuff to say. So let me ask you a question. If you say you're so in love with Jesus Christ, and he is your everything, he's your all in all, how come the church of God doesn't brag on him like we ought to? Y'all know we talk about everything else. But when it comes to time to tell folk about his goodness to us, we get quiet as church mice. Thank God we don't have any church mice at Pleasant Hill that I know of. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Where are my folk who can't? I just can't be quiet about him. He's been too good. I just can't keep silent about him. He's done too much for me. He's brought me through too many storms. And I don't know about y'all, but there have been times in my life where I've been frustrated and discouraged because I didn't see how I was going to make it through. I didn't see how I would come out. But when I look back over my life and think that I can't be quiet about it, he's been so good to me. I don't mind bragging about him. He dries your tears when the enemy won't leave you alone. Amen, amen. He rocks you to sleep when you're going through your midnight hours. He makes a way out of no way. Every day and every hour, through danger seen and unseen, it seems like we don't want to rock the boat of complacency and norm and give him the praise he deserves. But I believe God has a few folk up in Pleasant Hill that are not ashamed to tell it like a T.I. is, that God is my rock in a weary land, that God is my shelter in the time of storm, that God is my water in dry places, that God is my bridge over troubled waters, that God is my refuge and secret hiding place. Do I have a witness? He's calling folks who are not ashamed to say, yes, weeping did endure for a night, but because of Jesus in my life, I said, because of Jesus in my life, I'm here to testify that joy did come in the morning. Come on, where are my folk who've had some sleepless, dark nights, but you're trusting in him, and now you don't mind standing on your feet and said, I didn't give up, I didn't throw in the towel, I didn't quit, I waited patiently on God, and joy came in the morning. You ought to give him praise today. Another sign of a real love affair with God is that you don't mind bragging on the one you love. I remember there was another song when I was a young child of the 70s, and it said, ain't no woman like the one I got. And the brother in that song was bragging on the love that he shared with that young lady. I just wish, and I'm praying, that if no other church is willing to go out and tell somebody about the love of Jesus, I'm praying that Pleasant Hill will be that kind of church. Can I tell you something? Church growth doesn't happen just because we want it to. Church growth happens because there are men and women who are not ashamed to go out and brag on their risen Savior. Church growth happens because there are men and women and boys and girls who don't mind testifying about a God that sits high and looks low. And when we brag on him, somebody else will say, well, I want to know him. How do I get to know him? And that opens the door of opportunity to tell him, you've got to admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you fall short. Admit that without him, you would be on your way to a devil's hell, and then believe that he died on the cross for your sins, and they buried him. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Tell your neighbor, you ought to brag on him. You ought to brag on him. The text shouts, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. One translation says, all night long on my bed, I looked for the one in whom my soul loves. Another sign of a true love affair, there ought to be a longing to be with each other. Do I need to say that again? If you're really in love, you ought to be together sometime. If you're really in love, you ought to want to be together. Do I have a witness here today? Amen, amen. And that's how it ought to be with your relationship with Jesus. I want to be with him, and I know I don't have to come to the church house to be with him, but I know that the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. I know the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. So if you're really seeking after God, you ought to get to the church every now and then. Y'all remember Jesus, when he was on the cross, the Bible says he cried out, I thirst. And of course, the folks standing at the foot of the cross, and many of us who've read that thought that he was talking about he was thirsting for water. But some theologians have concluded that it wasn't water that he was thirsting for. He was thirsting for that eternal and endless fellowship that he would have with humanity. He wasn't referring to physical needs. He was longing for the souls that would come to him and believe on his name. Even in the midst of his agony, his thoughts were on us. I said, even when he was suffering, he was thinking about you. Even when he was dying, he had you on his mind. Now, I needed to tell somebody that today, because a lot of times we feel we have low self-esteem because we feel like nobody loves us and nobody thinks about us. But I want you to leave Pleasant Hill today encouraged, knowing that if nobody else calls your name, Jesus had you on his mind as he hung on that old rugged cross. He longed for the fellowship that would exist between his people and their Savior as he groaned his last breath upon the old rugged tree. And we ought to long for him. We ought to long to be with him. We ought to long to see his face, to never again be separated from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Don't you hear David? David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to inquire in his temple. All David was saying is, I want to see him. I said, I want to see him. Don't you want to see him? Don't you want to make it over? Don't you want to be in a land where it's always howdy and never goodbye? The longing was too much for the Shulamite woman, and she took to the highways. She took to the byways looking for her love. Let me tell you, the love of God ought to move all of us every now and then. Amen, amen, amen. We've got to tell every man, woman, boy, and girl, every saint, every sinner, every watchman, every blind person to seek Jesus while he may be found. Work while it's day, because at night no man can work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But then in verse 4, if you look at verse 4, she again finds her prize. Her lover is again in her arms, and she determines not to let him go again. And let me tell you something, if you've allowed some mountains of division to come between you and God, if some hills of trouble have been able to get distance between you and your Savior, all you have to do is call on his name. And like a strong, lightning, quick gazelle, he'll come running back to you. And he'll come running back to you. You see, the first thing about love, at least the love of God, is that nothing and no one can separate you from it. Not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not shame, not peril, not violence. In fact, I agree with Paul when he said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Then he goes on to say, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ain't God all right this morning? Do you know he's all right? Have you tried him for yourself? Do you know what he will do? He's all right in the morning. He's all right at noonday. He's all right in the evening. He's all right in the midnight hour. Do you know he's all right? If you know he's all right, why don't you give him praise? If you know he's all right, why don't you tell him thank you? As I come to a close, trying to put a definition on what endless love looks like, I can't help but recall the other verses of that old Diana Ross and Lionel Richie classic. Two hearts that beat as one. Our lives have just begun. And forever,
I'll hold you close in my arms. I can't resist your charms. You see, I'm glad I serve a God that in my ups and in my downs, in my storms and in my rugged places, in the sunshine and in the rain, he said in his word, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And when you find that kind of love, you are sure enough glad. I said you're sure enough glad when you find that kind of love. In fact, so glad that it makes you want to stick around a while. I kind of like that because I tell you this, I came to Jesus just as I was. And can I tell you about me? I was weary, worn, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Jesus, the true love of the redeemed. He's the only one that can give you endless love. Thank God for all of the relationships we may develop in this lifetime. But most theologians suggest that all of the relationships that we develop here will end at the grave. But can I tell you something? His love goes farther and is more powerful than any love man can muster. You see, his love did make the lame man walk. His love did make the deaf talk. In him, we live and we move and we have our being. In Jesus, we have that kind of sunshine that never goes down and will never flame out. And when we found him, he sealed us with the Holy Ghost. That's his spirit would become the deposit that marks our salvation. I'm talking about endless love. It didn't happen overnight, but it was developed over 42 generations. It didn't have a lot of fanfare because it was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. It didn't involve a lot of expenses, but it healed the sick without a health care plan, fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, changed water to wine without a wine press, even raised the dead without an operating table. It had some dark moments because they took my Jesus, they marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. They mocked him, they beat him, and forced a crown of thorns on his head. And they hung him on the cross. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. But I'm so glad that even after they buried him, his love did not die. I'm talking about endless love. Because one writer said early, I said early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. How do you deny a love like that? How do you reject a love like that? How do you refuse a love like that? Come on and give God praise.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to very familiar scripture, found in Matthew's chapter 26. And I'm going to read from verse 26 all the way through verse 30. I'm going to be reading in the New Living Translation as they have the King James text on the screen. This is how it reads. It says, as they were eating,